If you want to hear about the opportunities that we are presenting to our investors, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club. We scour for the best opportunities and present those only to folks inside the club, and that is the only way you'll hear about our deals and what we're working on. We'd love for you to be a part. Again, go to BrickinInvestmentGroup.com and join the Brickin Investor Club.
The story behind that property is so much more important. Knowing, you know, hey, look, we're buying this property. They had a fire claim a couple years ago. The building's fixed, but since then we put all new fire suppression systems, you know, over the stove or fire extinguishers in all the units. We require tenants to carry liability insurance. Those things like that, they help make that sale.
Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
A graduate of the University of Central Florida, Clint is an expert in risk property management and widely regarded as one of the most knowledgeable insurance agents in the United States related to property investment insurance. Clint is a commercial lines coverage specialist and is licensed in 27 states. Clint, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Sam.
This is great, man. It's glad to have you on. Insurance is one of those topics that is boring. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, nobody wants to like sit around at the dinner table and, hey, you guys want to talk about insurance? But yet it affects, and especially right now, it affects what we are doing in the commercial real estate space. And I think it's something that we so rarely spend any time focusing on, so that when we're not prepared, it can kind of bite us where we don't want it to if we haven't paid attention to it. Does that sound like a fair analysis?
It is an excellent analysis, yes.
So walk us through. We've got 15, 20 minutes. I want to spend as much of that time as we can talking about how someone can properly insure, how they can reduce their costs, and at the same time, carry the necessary insurance they need for the different asset classes that maybe you guys work with. I'd love to hear what people are doing right, what they're doing wrong. Just give us the lay of the land.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm gonna start by flying at 30,000 feet and explain why the market is what it is right now. So we are going through what they call a market hardening up with commercial insurance, in particular, the multifamily world. What that means is carriers are starting to get much more strict with their underwriting guidelines and increasing rates. This is because the last 10 years, we have been in what they call a soft market, which is basically growth mode. It's bullish for you stock market people. And for the last 10 years, rates were low, profitability was up, carriers were not underwriting as strict as they are now. That was because they had reinsurance companies backing them. A reinsurance company is basically an insurance company for an insurance company. So when things hit the fan in a particular market or area, they have these large corporations with tons of money to back them. So they're able to keep their costs down. It's kind of hedging a bet. Well, if you've turned on a TV in the last 2 years, you've seen California wildfires, you've seen Gulf storms, you've seen Northeast snowstorms, you've seen Midwest tornadoes, you've seen a pandemic. That has led to all of these insurance or reinsurance companies having to come out of pocket and pay some of these claims to help these insurance carriers out. So that has led to institutional finance, who is investing in these reinsurance companies for the last 10 years, to say, we're not seeing the return we like, so we're going to take our money back out. And that kind of left the insurance carriers with their hand in the cookie jar saying, what do we do now? Our rates aren't high enough. We're letting anything on the books. We're in growth mode. We can't do that anymore. So we've had companies pull out of writing multifamily. We've had companies change their underwriting guidelines overnight in some cases. Rates you're going to see as high as 20, 30, 40% on some of your renewals, especially if you have claims. Until this market kind of levels itself out, this is kind of going to be the foreseeable future. I would assume probably the next 12 to 18 months, unless more bad stuff happens. So that is the reason why. To kind of mitigate those problems, obviously the sell of, you know, as an insurance agent, we have two sales. We have to sell to the property owner and we have to sell to the carrier. That sale to the carrier now is much tougher. So now if you are a property owner or looking to buy a property, the story behind that property is so much more important. Knowing, you know, hey, look, we're buying this property. They had a fire claim a couple years ago. the building's fixed. But since then, we put all new fire suppression systems, you know, over the stove or fire extinguishers in all the units. We require tenants to carry liability insurance. Those things like that, they help make that sale. You know, from a standpoint of keeping your costs down, it's pretty simple. It's just try not to have claims. I know that's very, very simple, you know, but if you look at the property from the carrier standpoint, they're not going to continue to insure a property if every year they're getting pegged for a $100,000 claim when they're only paying $50,000 a year in insurance. They're losing money every year. So what, as an investor, if you had an investment that was doing that, you wouldn't keep it either. So if you look at it from that logic, you know, keeping a property safe is probably going to be one of the easiest ways to keep your costs down.
When you say keep a property safe, you're saying don't have claims.
Yes. Some of the ways to do that are those fire suppression systems. I recommend that to just about every one of our clients. We have even carriers that offer discounts on selling them just because of how important they are. You know, 40% of apartment claims start in the kitchen with kitchen fires. You know, those suppression systems over the stove, those are a huge help. I also recommend every single tenant carry renter's insurance, because most of the time the tenants are the cause of the claim, whether that's a dog bite, a kitchen fire, cigarettes. We see cigarettes catch buildings on the side of fire. All of those are things completely out of your control as a property owner. The way to mitigate that risk is, hey, make these tenants put a little skin in the game. There's products out there. We actually have some of those products that you can tie a liability only tenant policy to part of their rent through an accounting system. You know, if anybody has any question, we can deep dive into that. That's a whole nother podcast. But yeah, there's products out there that help make that an easy process for you as a property owner. But you know, if you can have these tenants have a little skin in the game with a renter's policy, what that looks like is let's say they start a kitchen fire and that kitchen fire causes $100,000 of damage. If they have a renter's policy with $300,000, which is standard, with a $300,000 liability limit, that renter's policy will pay to have your building fixed. And now you don't have a claim on your record. Best way to handle that. So I think that is probably one of the biggest ways to keep it safe. I think from a property in and of itself standpoint is your property manager. Your property manager has to be a man that is very proactive in, you know, maintenance and CapEx improvements and things of that. I mean, you do things to, as an investor, you do things to the property to increase its value, whether that's new paint, new flooring. Why not do the same thing to make it safer to save your money on insurance?
Right. You had mentioned something early on when you said something about story. And it kind of, that's a funny way to put it, but it's almost like you're selling yourself to your insurance company in order to pay them. Can you kind of walk us through?
Yeah, it's a crazy world we live in, man. but yeah, I mean, it's some of the best accounts we have on our books are from investors that tell that story, that say, hey, we are about to buy this property. These are all the updates we've seen from the previous. I mean, you're getting that information anyway from the previous owner. Why not relay it to us? It's only going to help you. If you have a good insurance agent, they're going to know what's good information, what's bad information.
Right.
You know, and if I can sell this carrier on something that if they looked at black and white, we've got a perfect example of that. I've got an account right now who they had a couple losses last year. They were weather losses, so there's nothing they could do. But the carrier that was on those losses did a horrible job of maintaining the claim. Long story short, because they did not do a very good job of keeping up with that claim, something happened which caused another claim, which should have never happened. So now on a black and white, if I take an application for this account, I'm sending all of the application paperwork over, in addition to loss runs. Loss runs are hugely important, as any property knows, our property owner knows. That black and white of that loss runs shows two losses last year. And that looks awful. So what I did was I turned in the application, called the carrier and said, look, here's this situation. That carrier would have never given me a quote without that story. They just would have saw two losses, looked at the property and said, nah, this is not our appetite. We don't want this. That phone call to that underwriter and that relationship I have with that underwriter led to them saying, okay, we'll make an exception because that does stink for that property owner. So just having that story, it's like ammo. It's, you know, much easier to sell to a company if you have that ammo than just a black and white, hey, look, I've got this property built in the 80s, had a loss, you know, a fire loss last year. You know, what can you do? It's, you know, those days are over. We had, you know, those five, six years ago, that would have been more than enough. We might not have even needed a paper application. We could have just said, hey, look at this picture. Will you insure this? And, you know, my job was a heck of a lot easier then. But
right. What's something we can be doing in the underwriting phase? How do we prepare for the Wild West of insurance pricing?
I think getting as much information as you can regarding any losses or any updates. Those typically are the two biggest things carriers are looking at. And when I say updates, I mean updates to the roof, updates to the HVAC systems, any updates to the electrical or the plumbing. Those four are the big components that carriers look at. If you've got a building built in the 60s, let's say, a carrier is going to look at that and probably more than likely the wiring and the plumbing, unless the buildings have just been completely gutted and reconstructed, they're going to have original plumbing. They're going to have original wiring. And from a carrier standpoint, that's higher risk. I mean, you've got 50-year-old plumbing, you know, in the walls. There's a likelihood that something's going to, you know, burst and cause water damage. Or if that wiring is 50 or 60 years old, you run the risk of it causing a fire. So if you have documentation showing, hey, look, they replaced all of the wiring back in 98. Yeah, it was built in the 60s, but this wiring is up to the most recent 1998 code. Well, you're going to get a lot further through that process than you would if it was 60s wiring.
Got it. Now that makes sense. That absolutely makes sense. Talk to us. I know you said we need a whole nother podcast for this, because I had not, and maybe we'll briefly touch back on this again, because this is not something I've heard much about, which was about the tying the liability insurance in with the tenant's rent payment. It's kind of a backdoor way of doing force-placed insurance.
Yeah.
If that's even the right word. I'm not an insurance guy, so tell me I'm wrong. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You make it sound so dirty though, you know. No, there's a company out there, and it's typically for larger portfolios when you're talking like thousands of units. It's called Assurant. And Assurant kind of ties to a property manager's QuickBooks. And, you know, when they take a rent payment, there's also the liability, there's a renter's policy. And that can either be liability only, which is dirt cheap. You know, you're talking $8 to $10 a month, or a full-blown renter's policy that'll cover their stuff as well. That could be as high as $20-$25 a month. It'll show real time in that property manager's QuickBooks if they've made that payment or not. You know, a lot of owners we are seeing are going to mandating renter's insurance. And for this reason. And, you know, the hardest part about that in the past has been, how do you keep up with that? As a property manager, it's very simple for a tenant to say, yeah, I got it, and show you a deck page and then never pay for it again. And, you know, what are you going to do? You'd have to have a full-time person in that office calling the insurance, 20 different insurance companies every single month. And that's just, it's not realistic. So Assurant is one of the big ones. And we actually just had a conference call with another carrier that's about to roll out a product that's will work for smaller portfolios as well. So when that rolls out, that's going to be a huge help for a lot of property owners, because we pitch that very hard in our office, because it's mutually beneficial for, you know, the insurance carriers of these large apartments, as well as you property owners that are, you know, experiencing 20, 30, 40% rate increases because, you know, a tenant decided one night they wanted a Totino's pizza at 2 a.m. and fell asleep.
When should someone reach out to you? Like what is it? Is it the day we put this under contract? Is it before we put it under contract? When's the right time to reach out to your insurance agent?
We've got a bunch of different ways. You know, I have some people that use me part of their underwriting. So if they're looking at a property in a particular market and they're trying to look for an advantage, they'll send me an OM and say, hey, look, I'm looking at this 100 units in this market and they're currently paying this. Is this a fair price? Can you do better? You know, and obviously if I could come in and do a quote or give an indication that I could do better, well, obviously that increases your NOI, which makes the property more profitable, which then makes your offer higher. So we have some people that use that strategy. We have some people that wait till they get it under contract, like you mentioned. It all depends on the investor. We try to, you know, be here for the investor, not necessarily the other way around. So we want to be of value to you. So, you know, if that is on the front end to help you underwrite, we can help you do that. Typically, you're not in this market, you're not going to get what they call a hard quote, a formal quote from a carrier until they know you're closing on it.
Right.
You know, to go back to our original statement of how this market is hardened up, because of all of those things that happened and rates going up, these carriers are inundated right now with applications. Because as a consumer, if your rates go up, what are you going to do? You're going to shop, right? This is ridiculous. I've never had a claim. Why are my rates going up? I want someone else. So now these carriers have stacks, you know, 2 feet tall on their desk, and they're trying to navigate which one is, you know, worth their time. So lately, you know, and 2 years ago, it wasn't nothing for me to get an address and turn around a quote in 48 hours. And you had a firm quote if you were buying or not. Now, because of the market conditions, you know, because we're in, you know, quite a few states in the country, we have a pretty good idea of what market indications are doing. So if you bring me something from an underwriting standpoint, I can get you an indication pretty quick. But a formal quote, there's no way I can get one of those until you are under contract and there's a set closing date. A carrier just, they withhold that until we that
information. Right, right. Those days sound like they have long passed.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's interesting. Let's jump into the final four here. If you're giving one piece of advice about insurance, what would that one piece of advice be? What's something somebody should be doing?
The first thing I would say is insurance is the most volatile line item on a T12, hands down. You as a property owner could have had 2 claims last year and paying a premium for your insurance, whereas somebody coming in and buying your property would not have to pay that premium. So to me, I think understanding what you have and realizing that safety of this property is going to save you money. Everybody looks at insurance as, you know, this just necessary evil. It's not, man. Use it as a tool. It can be used as a tool in your underwriting and running of this property, which could help your profitability. I mean, it's just that simple. You know, Eric, oh, I hate insurance. It's boring. I don't know anything about it. You guys are always trying to raise my rates, even though I don't file claims. I mean, you know, that is the misnomer. Well, if you keep that property safe, keep claims down, make it safe where the carrier, you're an asset to the carrier. Well, your profitability, I promise you, will go up.
Right.
My investors who treat this line item like an asset, like a commodity, those are the ones that usually pay the cheapest rates.
That's interesting. What's one thing you're currently doing to stay on top of your game?
Drinking a lot of whiskey nowadays, but you know, it's been a tough market. I mean, the biggest thing for us right now and what we do is, you know, finding the carriers that are aggressive and wanting this market share. You know, there's a lot of companies that are pulling out, you know, but just like any other market, you know, you've got some pulling out and some looking at that as an opportunity to come in and regain market share. And it's my job to figure out which ones are which. And, you know, are they good companies? Are they shady companies? You know, do they pay claims? Do they not pay claims? You know, my job is to be your advisor for insurance, just like you have an attorney to handle your legal questions and an appraiser to tell you what a property's worth. My job is to teach you about insurance.
Right. Awesome. When it comes to giving back, what's one thing you're currently doing to make the world a better place?
I would say this. You know, I think what we're doing right now, you know, so many people don't realize how important insurance is when it comes to investment properties. And if I can get on a 20-minute podcast or a 10-minute phone call or you know, a 30-minute webinar just to kind of give you a little insight into what's happening in this marketplace now. And that helps you, you know, obtain a property and grow that legacy for your family. To me, that's a win in my book.
Right. No, that's awesome. That's awesome. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, Clinton, how do we do that?
My email address is clint@iprotectinsurance.com, or you can give me a call on my cell phone. That number is 256-975-4964.
Clinton, thanks so much for your time today. I certainly appreciate it.
Thanks, Sam. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much, and hope to catch you on the next episode.